Which brings us inevitably to the Davidsmuller Dances, one of the most remarkable works of this time, certainly. Is this music that you've ever studied in this regard? What impressions might you offer on it?
Well, I think the Davidsmuller Tänze are one of a series of... it's very hard to describe these ideas because no one else has ever had them quite so clearly as Schumann did, but essentially it's conceiving the world, the universe, the cosmos as a kind of dance, especially one's own personal circle. The personal circle begins as a dance, and you imagine in it all one's friends, all one's acquaintances, all those whom one has loved, living or dead, are suddenly present as musical entities and are dancing, and delighting us in their dancing, but also at the same time seeing something very significant about human life and circumstance. Davidsmuller Tänze, as the name implies, are about his various friends and allies in the new German music that he was driving towards and did so much to establish in reality. And they're also notable, I think, for a Clara theme, which unifies them, and which is the theme to which I've drawn attention in the D minor symphony, but reversed, simply. One can't, after all, over and over use the same theme. The Davidsmuller Tänze has that theme in retrograde form, that is to say, B, A sharp, B, C sharp, D. Sure. Well, the whole work begins with what's called a motto from Clara Wieck. Her initials are given. Schumann liked to be as mystifying as possible, even when the thing was entirely clear and simple. And it begins... And that is a quotation from a mazurka that the young Clara had written. But it's also very reminiscent of a German folk song, Morgenrot. Morgenrot. It's about a new dawn in Schumann's life, as much of his music is. Each of his ideas takes on a new and novel turn, and he's writing music which projects himself into the future. But this kind of motif, that is, which is the Clara motif transposed and simply reversed. And this kind of motif makes a great deal of the music. And you hear throughout, just at the opening of various pieces, like this, simple five-note themes. There are others here. These are the beginnings of various pieces. Here's another. And this all begins, I think, in Papillon. Schumann has discovered a kind of theme which joins his names to Clara's. He calls himself Florestan and Eusebius, and these are F sharp, actually, and E. And then we have a Clara theme. And then you come back again, and you can play that in any way you like. You can invert it, instead of having going down and then up, you can go up and then down, and you can call the result Papillon, and this is Papillon, of course, was one of his very first set of piano pieces, and the idea is the same. That here we have partners, friends and lovers, allies in the great struggle, all dancing together and appreciating each other's life and art. It's a Papillon because it's the same backwards and forwards, and if you imagine to yourself what a butterfly looks like and draw that shape on a piece of manuscript paper, you can see that the idea that it's a butterfly's wings. And there's another tie-up, which is this. In German, larva, which means the larva of a butterfly, among other things, also means a mask. So that every time he writes these pieces, it's like, the idea is presenting a masked entity, on projecting onto music paper the personality of a friend, exactly as Elgar was to do later in the Enigma Variations. Mm-hmm. And when he comes to write Carnival, which is another exactly similar set of pieces, a dance, as Carnival implies, they're carnival dancers, and each one of them has a different title, including Florestan and Eusebius. It's himself in all his various guises, it's Clara in all her various guises and disguises, dancing at a masked ball. And the notes used are the notes in the musical notes in Schumann's own name. That is to say, the note A, the note S, which happens to be ES in German, pronounced S, but is that their name for E flat, C, which is C, and H, which in German means the note B. So that makes straight away a theme you can use. And another thing he does, which I'm sure no one has done before or thought of doing, is to play these notes, A-S-C-H. A-S in German means A-flat, that note. C is that. And H, as we saw, is B. And what he does is to play them together as a chord. And a very nasty noise it makes. That would occur to him really quite naturally and simply as a way of writing a word or an idea. When he comes to write Arbeg, his first piano piece, he invents a name, Arbeg. It was actually someone's name, but that's not the main point. It's a character drawn in music. A, B flat, which is B in German. A, B, E, G, G, Arbeg. And then you use the same idea a little lower. And then you have a very sweet tune which you can improvise on. But later on, that same tune disappears. We have Arbeg, A, and then the three notes together as a chord. And slowly, each one of them is taken off. And this happens again in Papillon, and it means the idea of disappearance. The imaginary figure is, as if in a dream, disappears in front of your very eyes. The whole music is designed to symbolize a vanishing, which is a very strange thought, but then Schumann in many ways had a very strange mind.